ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 3 वर्स टेक्स्ट 36 एंड 37। अर्जुन उवाच अथ केन परयुक्तोयम् पापं चरति पुरुषः अनिच्छन्नपि वार्ष्णेय बलादेव नियोजित। अर्जुन सेड, ओ डिसेंडेंट ऑफ वृष्णि, बाय व्हाट इज वन इंपेल्ड टू सिनफुल एक्ट्स इवन अनविलिंगली एज इफ एंगेज्ड बाय फोर्स। पर्पट, अ लिविंग एंटिटी एज पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ द सुप्रीम इज ओरिजिनली स्पिरिचुअली प्योर and free from all material contaminations. Therefore, by nature, he is not subject to the sins of the material world. But when he is in contact with the material nature, he acts in many sinful ways, without hesitation, and sometimes even against his will. As such, Arjun's question to Krishna is very sanguine as to the perverted nature of the living entities. Although the living entity sometimes does not want to act in sin, he is still forced to act. Sinful actions are not, however, impelled by the super soul within, but are due to another cause, as the Lord explains in the next verse. So we'll read the next verse and translation. Purport. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kamesha Krodhesha Rajoguna Samudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhyena Mihvairinam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjun, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world.
Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yenan Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for our evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we'll be discussing question of Arjun and also the answer of Sri Krishna, and basically divide our presentation into the following headings: the origin of lust, its development in the heart, its consequences both in the personal life as well as social implications, and also its treatment. So here Arjun is asking Sri Krishna, what is that thing which forces a person to act even against his own will? So technically this can be called as veg or force. So simple example of veg is like we have veg urges to evacuate, so nobody can stop. So one can easily understand it's a very strong force. Also, Parikshit Maharaj in 6th canto, in the beginning of 6th canto, 1st chapter, he asked Sukhdev Goswami that how a person is forced to act sinfully. And the word he uses in this context is vivash. Vivash means person is helpless, is not able to resist. And also, again, Uddhavji asked Sri Krishna in Bhagavatam 11th canto, Uddhav Gita, विदन्ते मर्तया प्रायेन विश्यान पद्मापदं तथापि भुञ्जते कृष्ण तत्कथां श्वखराजका। इट गिव्स वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग अंडरस्टैंडिंग। ही सेज दैट ऑल द पीपल नो, प्रायेन मीन्स कॉमनली द नो, दैट विश्यान पद्मापदं, दैट मटीरियल लाइफ गिव्स ग्रेट मिजरी, स्टिल दे ट्राई टू एंजॉय एज मच एज दे कैन. And how it is possible that people who have knowledge, they are acting like, he gives two examples, acting like a dog and an ass. So the example is given that a dog, he knows that he'll be beaten if he goes to a place where food is lying and somebody is watching, still he goes, driven by hunger. He goes to a bitch for sex and she gnarls, bares her teeth, shows her claws and hurt him. And the ass works very hard for what? A bunch of green grass which is available anywhere. And he also sings very nice poetry, goes to a she-ass and she kicks him on the face. And people know this, still they are forced to act sinfully. Now somebody may feel that, okay, I'm not forced, I'm in control of my life. So we can very easily see how even we are forced in our lives. For example, we give this example to college students. If somebody is studying in the room and a cricket match is being played in the TV room and suddenly there is a sixer and everybody shouts, oh, and the person is sitting and immediately his attention goes to that. And he feels, although there is exam, he's feeling, let me go and watch at least one ball, one over, just one over, last over the innings. And he goes, and only when the match ends, he comes after the post-match discussion. So he's forced. Like Radhika Raman Prabhu was here a few days back, and he gave the example that if there's a group of men and a scantily clad beautiful woman comes, so automatically all eyes will turn towards that. They are also being forced, helplessly. And for women, he gave the example that if a very cute, chubby baby comes, so all the women will be looking at that baby, being affectionate, want to caress him. There are some people, they cannot resist food. I mean, they feel it is not good, but still, they go for it. Some people, they smoke, drink, eat various kind of pan masalas. They may feel I can give it up, but they can't. They are also being hooked, forced to go to that addiction. And these people have knowledge that these things are bad. Smoking is injurious to health. Still, they can't give it up. So this is the veg, the force, which drives us to do sinful act. So Krishna calls this force as lust. Kamesh Krodhesh. So we'll see how it develops, how it originates. So Srila Prabhupada describes in this purport of the second verse, which verse number 37, that when a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or in the other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. So then further cycle is there, which we'll discuss later. So originally it is described that living entity wants to have pleasure. Anandamaya Abhyasat wants is a pleasure seeking spirit. So originally in spiritual world this pleasure is fulfilled by serving Krishna and enjoying with him. But then we come to material world and the love of Krishna is transferred for the things and persons of material world. And this love is not pure, so it is called lust. So, as a conditioned soul, our basic understanding is to derive pleasures from sense gratification. Like we see animals, they like to have eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So, initially this pleasure is achieved by contact of sense object with senses. Like we like to see, we have eyes, we like to see good forms. Sense of touch, like to touch soft things, pleasurable things. Then sense of hearing, nice to hear, nice sweet voice, music. Sense of tongue, we like to eat palatable dishes. And then smell, like to smell nice perfumes. And also there are pleasures of the mind, pleasures of intelligence. Like some people are interested in poetry, literature, or some people are interested in solving crossword puzzles, chess, other games which are more intellectual and mental, may not be so much sensual. So some pleasure is needed for our stability, because without pleasure we will not survive. But the problem is that somebody can say, I can live with minimum amount of pleasure, have a regulated life and I'll be happy. But then this cycle develops. How is it described? It is described in Bhagavatam 11th canto when the four sages, Sanat, four Kumaras, they ask Brahmaji that how this sense object come in touch with the mind. So Brahmaji is not able to answer, and then Lord appears as Hamsavatar And he gives the answer. He says that the sense objects are constantly flowing in the mind in the form of like a stream. Constant, every moment sense objects enter into our mind. Not just through eyes, but through every other senses. Like for example, if we see something and that object is there, but after some moment that object is not there, but that image is still there in the mind. So in that sense, the sense object is still present in the mind. Although physically it is not there, through the image it is present. And then, through the mind, we try to derive that pleasure. And when we experience certain kind of pleasure, by three things, by experience, by hearing, or even by seeing, that impression is there in the mind. And it keeps on, the mind keeps on playing that track, back and forth, rewind forward, rewind play, rewind play, rewind play. And then, once that pathway is, that circuit is complete, then the resistance to the flow of that circuit decreases. It's a little technical language, I'll explain it more easily. For example, if we do a particular activity mentally, like mind is a place, organ which generates thought. So every time the thoughts are directed in a certain pathway, the next time it becomes easier for those thoughts to be generated and pass through that same pathway. The resistance to it decreases. For example, if there is a puddle of water and you draw, you dig a small channel, different 4 or 5 channels. So the channel in which is broader, which has more slope, which is bigger, the water will flow through that more easily. So every time we think a particular thought, so we are digging that channel, digging that groove deeper and with greater slope, so that thought process passes more easily. So every time in the mind that cassette is replayed, so every time we'll think, the thought will pass through that particular pathway and those images, those impressions will come up. This is how mind plays for sense gratification in mind. And that's why that cycle is given in Gita. That dhyayato vishyan punsan, sangas teshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodha vijayate, krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammohat samriti vibhrama, smriti bhranshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nashat pranashati. So this describes that once we think of an object, then we want association, sangha, sangha. And with sangh, the lust develops to possess it. If the lust is frustrated, then anger develops, which Krishna is describing here. And for example, let's see, somebody is just meditating on, let's say, a beautiful car. And he sees a neighbor is having good car. So he's thinking, car, 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 car. This thing is going on in his mind. And then his attachment, lust to possess that car increases. And if he's not able to get, he's frustrated. I don't have any car, or I have a second hand old car, and my neighbor has got brand new car. How is it? How is it? So that leads to krodh, anger. And krodh leads to sammoha. So sammoha we can understand like it's like hypnotism, sammohan. So what's happened in hypnotism? The person does hypnotism, and the other person loses all control, all independence, comes under control of that person. So this krodh, he overpowers us. We lose all control and we become victim, slave of this anger. And krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammoha samriti vibhrama. And we lose all memory. We forget, who am I? Where am I? What am I doing? Who is the other person? What is the situation? Everything we forget. And then smriti bhranshat buddhi nasho. And then the intelligence is lost. We don't know what is the function of intelligence? Discrimination. What is right? What is wrong? We forget that. What is right? What is wrong? We forget, who am I? What am I supposed to do? What is this situation? Who is the other person? Everything we forget. And then, buddhi nashat pranashati. We are lost. So this is the cycle of lust. Now somebody may say that, okay, this sense gratification is going on in my mind, but I can control it, you know. But then Krishna says it's not possible. Why? Because here he is saying kamesh krodesh rajogun samudva, that this thing originates from mode of passion. So what is mode of passion? It is described in 14th chapter. Rajo rakatmaka vriddhi trishna sang samudbhavam. That rajo ragatmaka, it increases attachment, and trishna. Trishna is that intense hankering, lalsa, pipasa, just to get that thing. So somebody who is in mode of goodness, sattvic, peaceful, quiet person, even if this torment is going on in his heart, he can control it. But somebody who is passionate, he cannot. So this thing will originate. And the problem with modern society is that it is increasing mode of passion and ignorance. We will describe it much later, how it is there. So once, this torment of lust is growing in the heart, what happens then next? So next we'll come to the consequences of lust. So there are two, we can divide into two. The individual consequences and social consequences. So individual consequences, that because this lust is growing, that entire cycle of samo, smriti, vibhram and krodh and all these things takes place. And person is totally caught up in this. So recently one article came in BTG about this lust. So what they had shown in picture was, like we see prisoners, they are handcuffed. So the cuff looks has a very square form. So in this article, they have made handcuff in the form of heart. So this lust creates invisible bonds, which we cannot see, but they bind us to this material world. Because when the lust is fulfilled, we get some happiness. And because of this happiness, we have desire to enjoy again and again. And then we think we'll stay here, enjoy, not only in this species, but in another species. And then we become forgetful of God. And we are happy here and forget all liberation. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai, Shri Panch Tatva Ki Jai. And then we can see so many social consequences. Like so many, we see crimes are being committed because of this lust. So lust, we should understand, it's not just lust for the opposite sex, but lust for any material object. People may have been maybe lusty for social prestige, money, so many other things. For example, for gross lust, recently one very shocking news come, especially in India and in the world, we are now seeing a lot of crimes being taking place. Recently, even like person, very respectable position, somebody whose father, he is committing sins toward his own daughter. Like a case came where father had imprisoned the daughter in an underground basement for decades and fathered children out of her. And she hadn't seen the light of the day. And he was totally a psychotic person. And so many other crimes, we will not go into detail. But we also see not just person, but other crimes and other things which we see even at social level, they are also because of the combined lust of other people. Lust to enjoy material facilities. And when they want to enjoy material facilities, they forget that they have any responsibility for the future generation, for fellow citizens. And they create so much havoc in the environment. Because the desire to exploit the natural resources without any idea of taking care of them for the future generation. There is no understanding of self-restraint. There is no understanding for working for future. There is no understanding for preservation, for decreasing sense gratification. So this is all because of uncontrolled lust. And byproduct of lust is anger. When the lust is not fulfilled, we have anger. And so many crimes are also being committed because of anger, both in the, we can see, in a person's life, in the family, society. Unfulfilled lust leads to so many problems. So Prabhupada explains, therefore lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. wrath, which is anger, is a manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as anger and other corollaries. If therefore the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activity, the living entity begins to inquire about their real position. So now we'll come to the treatment of lust and anger. So, lust and anger, they are born out of mode of passion. So, the best way is to convert ourselves into mode of goodness or pure goodness. So, it is described in Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 28th chapter, 40th verse. The treatment of lust, Krishna describes.
Kaschin mam anudhyayena nama sankirtana adibhi yogeshwar anuvritya vahanyadashubhudashane.
Destroy lust by maam anudhyayan, by meditating on me, and naam sankirtanadibhi, by chanting the holy names. So how is it possible? It is described that lust is the result of Cupid, Madan. And Krishna is Madan Mohan. That means he charms even Cupid. In Vrindavan there is a place called as Ter Kadam. Madan Ter. So that is a place where even Cupid, when he saw Krishna, he got totally baffled and lost all his power. So it is described when somebody is very much tormented by lustful desires, one should meditate on the eyebrows of Krishna. Because Cupid is having an arrow and he is shooting on us. So Krishna's eyebrows are like Krishna's bow, and his glance is like his arrows, which when I enter our heart, we become resistant from the effects of Cupid. And also it is described that anger can, and Prabhupada describes in Nectar of Instruction, that lust can be utilized for creating Krishna conscious children in marriage. So once it is dutifully, like Krishna also says, dharma vriddho kamosmi, that his sex life which is according to the principles of religion. So utilizing our sex desires in ashram of marriage for creating children is a proper utilization of lust in Krishna service. And also we can utilize anger in service of Krishna. Like whenever we hear somebody criticizes us, we should try to tolerate it. And whenever somebody criticizes Krishna or the devotees, we should be angry like fire. But mostly it is the opposite. When somebody criticizes us, we become angry like fire, and somebody criticizes devotees, we are like cool as ice. So, so an example is given how anger can be utilized in Krishna service is Hanumanji. Like when Hanumanji was captured in Lanka from Ashok Vatika, these Rakshasas were criticizing, oh, you are a monkey, you are a forest animal and all like this. So Hanumanji did not mind. But when they started criticizing Ram, oh, you are an animal, your master is also like this, living in forest, somebody picked up his wife and he's not. Hanumanji became very angry. And you can see his anger, the way he manifested by burning Lanka. And Arjun, Krishna asked him to fight. And it was not that he was fighting against his relatives and he was saying, oh, Hari Bol, here is my arrow, or please take care, I'm shooting. He was really angry, utilizing in Krishna service. So that's how we can use anger in service, anger and lust in service of Krishna. And for the treatment of lust, we can see that lust is a perverted form of love of Krishna. So by developing our love for Krishna, we can actually cure it. Like, we have various senses, we should utilize them in service of Krishna. With eyes, we should try to see the beautiful form of Krishna. Captivate, fill our heart. Like material objects, they enter the heart, stay there. Similarly, we should fill the heart with Krishna. We should ingest the image of Krishna and capture it in our heart. That's why when we morning we meditate, we see the darshanarthi, devotees take nice darshan, so whole day they are meditating how Krishna is looking, what he is wearing. And this way the heart is completely full with Krishna. So when the heart is full of Krishna, you won't think of anything else. And we have eyes to see Krishna's form. We have tongue. With tongue we should pray to Krishna, chant his holy name, eat Krishna Prasad. In one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said that treatment of lust is to eat food cooked by devotees. So, and we have also experienced, like bus party, we went to some place and although it was food without onion, garlic, and some very nice people had prepared, but we could experience agitation in the heart. Because through food, we get the consciousness of the person who is preparing it. And mostly commercial people have desires for sense gratification and their consciousness enters into the food. And we should use our ears to hear about the pastimes of Krishna, to read about them. And it's also described that when we hear Hari Katha, it's a very nice purport is given. Until a living entity appreciates the sublime nature of eternal spiritual pastimes of the supremely conscious person and the minutely conscious persons, his heart will remain enraptured by the abundant duality of material enjoyment and detachment. That means we should fill the heart with Krishna's pastimes. Then we won't be interested in mundane thing. And we should also know that this material world is temporary. It is described in Answers of Hamsavatar that one should see that the objects of this world are an illusion. So like if we are attracted to something, one very nice exercise we can do. Just imagine we are attracted to, let's say, this garland or any other object. So just try to put it in one frame in your mind and put that frame in a time machine and press forward. And just see how this object made of different elements eventually deteriorates. Just put this frame into fast forward mode and see. So any object we are attracted to, just put a frame, press fast forward and see 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30, 40. This will take hardly a few days and it will degenerate. So like this we can see. This is meditation is given in Bhagavatam only. That how the sense object deteriorates in front of your eyes. And then we'll see that the material objects which captivate us are all illusion. And objects of this world are an illusion appearing within the mind because material objects are temporarily manifested. They're not permanent things. Only Krishna is permanent. Our relation with Krishna is permanent. Devotion is permanent. Objects of this world are not permanent. They can be compared to the streaking red line created by whirling a blazing stick on fire. So just when we move a stick on fire, very fast, it looks like a blazing streak of red. But it's not permanent. So we should have this understanding. And then we have the sensation of touch. We should use to serve the deities, serve the devotees, clean Krishna's temple. And we have the sense of smell. We should use it to smell the tulsi flowers, the flowers offered to Krishna, the incense, the scents offered to Krishna. In fact, there is a verse in Bhagavatam. Tasya arvinda nayanasya padara vindo kinjalka tulsi mishra makaranda vayu antargata svavaner jakaratesham sankshobha makshara. So it is described about the four Kumaras that just when they smell the fragrance of Tulsi mixed with Chandan on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, immediately the sense, that smell captivated their hearts. And although they were impersonalist, they immediately became devotees of the Lord. So one becomes attracted when all these senses, they meet the sense objects which are transcendental, related to Krishna. And once the senses are purified, with those senses we can actually see that sublime beauty of Krishna and be able to revive our Krishna consciousness, our dormant love for Krishna. Then on Valentine's Day, we won't be running after other people. But in fact, we'll be thinking of presenting a Valentine card to Krishna, asking him how we can love him. So this is the way we can control lust. It's one of the greatest enemies Krishna is describing. And we have seen how various problems in the world are caused because of it. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Bhuji. Bhuji, this concept of out of sight, out of mind, and you know, we see, means we hear sometimes devotees say, like, I will not go out. It's, you know, very horrible outside. It's my out. Then the senior devotee said, but how long will you stay? No, you have to face one time, sometime in a life you have to face things. So how these two things, out of mind and out of sight, out of sight and out of mind, and, you know, like, you can still externally avoid it, but it's still in their mind, and in future when you'll deal with it.
I think a proper balance has to be done. One should not be like paranoid that I'll not step outside only. Because as it is described, the sense objects are there in the mind, even if they are not externally. And if we pray to Krishna, we can be protected once we go outside also. And if we are not Krishna conscious, even if we are well protected away from all the sense objects, still we may not be protected. But still, if the gut reaction is person is feeling weak and vulnerable, one should try to adjust and not. We shouldn't be bold. We should be sufficiently fearful of Maya. And if within we are feeling that we are weak, better to be safe than sorry. That is my opinion. Yeah. Any other question? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthashimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.